Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to another edition of the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast. My name is Andy Warren and I'm joined by a man, you've missed this, haven't you, Shane?
The intro's back.
By a man who's looking rather tanned after some hours out in the Suffolk sun. You're looking bronzed, Stu. How are you?
Yeah, very well. I'm good.
Yeah, the intro's back and because Mark Heath isn't here.
Sad.
Where's
Sad
he?
Times. He's in the peaks somewhere, isn't he, at the moment?
Oh, yeah.
On holiday.
It was his birthday yesterday. We're recording this on Thursday.
Happy birthday, Gaffer,
yep.
If you're listening.
Yep. Well done, Stu. You'll love that. He's taking his dog walking in the peaks. If you don't follow Mark's dog on Instagram, you should. Benson on Instagram, he's a good follow. Top lad, Benson. He comes in now and again into
pets
the office.
Should not be on social media. Pets and children on social media. Ooh. No, definitely not.
I quite like Benson's Instagram. I tend to agree with you, although I feel a bit of a hypocrite because my wife changed her Instagram account to our cat. So my cat is on Instagram. It's not any of my work, but I quite like it, Stu. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I understand that there's an interest out there. Mark tells me that his dog gets sent actual birthday cards from people all across the globe, from far corners of the globe. He'll be better to tell this story when he returns. So I get it. It's for some people, but I don't know. Not for me. I don't try not to put too much about my own child on social media because nobody cares.
Yeah. Nobody does care, do they? Oh, here's another cute picture. I've experienced that now. Nobody cares.
Mm.
How are you anyway? All right?
I'm all right, mate. Yeah, we've got our fixtures for the season, so this is our life plan for the next 9 months,
yep.
Isn't it?
You know, we know what we're doing every weekend between now and May the 5th at minimum, maybe even a few weekends beyond that. Who knows? This is what the summer is for, optimism. Have you already gone through and found the ones that you can't do? The weddings that you're at, there's a couple that
couple of stag do's.
Yeah,
there's a few that I'm welching out of this year. I think you've got a couple as well, but between the two of us, we'll have them all covered, won't we?
Always there. Or was it 8,500 miles or something on the road this year?
Well, if you chuck Exeter in as well, which we've got a lovely little midweek trip to Exeter and an early Tuesday in the season, I think it tops 8,600, which I haven't gone through it, but we think that's probably the longest in the division, maybe Swansea.
There's so many miles though.
It's very northwest based this year, isn't it? Looking at it, it seems to always be quite a northern based league in general. But it's more miles than last year. Yes, we got rid of Cardiff, but we replaced them with Swansea, which was nice. Wigan and Blackburn going up's done us no favours on the mileage front, so. We had a little casual chat with Chris Doig, didn't we, at the press conference, and we did say to him, be warned, everywhere seems like a long way away. So, mind you, Shrewsbury probably felt like they put the miles in as well, but all part of the gig,
Did you get the impression that a lot of people have told Chris Doig that Suffolk is a lovely part of the world to live in?
Yes.
Because I think we both said it. I think he'd heard that before.
He did. I think, what was his reply? He said maybe that should be the strap line for Ipswich Town. Ipswich Town, a lovely place to live, seemed to be his reply. But I think that is part of the standard chit-chat with people that arrive at this football club. Yeah.
Right. All these miles we're talking about, it all begins at Portman Road, though, which is nice. We're not going to go through these one by one because that would be really boring. But we will start at the beginning. Ipswich welcoming Blackburn Rovers, led by Tony Mowbray, on August the 4th. It's a nice little one.
Yeah, good. I think always good to have a home game, I think, to start the season, especially for Paul Hurst, chance to get out there in front of his own fans to start with. Is it good to play newly promoted teams early on, when people talk about confidence and momentum sort of still carrying over from last season, I don't know, does it really matter? You've got to play them all twice at some stage and no easy games and all of that. But Paul Hurst has come out today and said he's pleased to have a home game to start with. Two newly promoted sides back to back with Blackburn and then Rotherham away, which obviously has its own intriguing subplot with Rotherham having beaten Shrewsbury in extra time at the playoff final at Wembley.
And Paul played 450 games for them as well.
Yeah.
There's the subplots to all of these first months, sort of up until the first international break.
Two newly promoted sides to start with, Mogger and Vino back game one, then Rotherham with everything we've just discussed.
Exeter,
who lost in the League Two playoff final. Villa, who lost in the Championship playoff final. Frank Lampard's Derby County, to give them their full title now, as we must refer to them as. They lost in the playoff semis. And then Sheffield Wednesday away, who were Paul Hurst's boyhood club growing up, the team he supported. He's been very open about that. So he'll be looking, on a personal note, looking forward to that trip to Hillsborough himself, I'm sure. And that's August. And then the small matter of Norwich City at home to start September.
Before we get to that one, can I give you a hot take on that Sheffield Wednesday game at Hillsborough? Do you want to know a hot take?
Go on.
Mick McCarthy will be managing Sheffield Wednesday.
By then?
Yeah. This is the hottest of hot takes. Just thought of it just now, but I'm convinced of it. I don't know who Wednesday have got to start the season, but I can't imagine Lehecki is on any firmer grounding.
I can see Mick ending up there. I don't know if it will be by the end of August.
This is why it's a hot take, Stu. It's so hot. Oven gloves needed.
I like it. But
if it happens, you know, everybody knows where it came from first. Hot off the press.
Nice.
Probably won't happen. But what is definitely happening is an East Anglian derby on September the 1st, which another one that Paul has said he's excited by to have that one early. And is there any better way to ingratiate yourself with your new public and to end a 10-game winless run against the men in yellow? I felt quite excited writing about these first six, seven fixtures, actually, and culminating in that one before the international break. It's going to be a fascinating month.
Well, that's key, isn't it? Because you've then got that you go straight into an international break after that game, so you've got 2 weeks to dwell on that result, good or bad. Paul has already talked this game up, or sounded more excited about this game, as some have pointed out on social media, than Mick McCarthy did probably during his 5.5 years at Ipswich. He never really seemed to fully buy into the excitement of the East Anglian derby. I know a lot of it was the kind of the managerial technique of, oh, it's another game, you only get 3 points for it and all the rest of it. But I don't know, maybe I'm being a bit disingenuous, but you never kind of sense that level of excitement surrounding the derbies that fans want to hear. He said the right things, but I don't know if we ever felt we fully believed it, which was a shame, getting into 6 years there and the playoff games and everything. But yeah, Paul's been very quick to sort of highlight that those games coming up, and he knows that you know, you win that game, if you achieve something that Mick didn't in 5.5 years, if you do that within the first couple of months, then he's flying.
It's going to be moved to the Sunday though, isn't it? Surely we're writing about this game, it's all on the lists as being on Saturday the 1st of September. That's not going to be,
you would think
that's
that,
not going to be the
case.
They'll
both be on a Sunday, because that's been how it is.
No Ipswich on TV in the first opening game, so Sky have put out their first six.
Who's the Friday night game? I've not seen.
I don't know off the top of my head, but I can find out. But I do know that in the least surprising news in Championship TV history, Leeds United's opening game is on TV.
Of course.
With their new manager, which is the next game that I've got highlighted. I've highlighted some games that, to use a Heathism, rev my engine. And the next one that revs my engine is in October at Leeds, because Bielsa is one of the most intriguing football individuals that I've ever, I say come across, I've never come across him, but he's just, it's going to be magic. He's either going to be not there, having walked out, or it's just going to be an absolute circus. It's going to be great.
Who knows with Leeds? I think we said before, didn't they? They've had more managers this century than Ipswich have had in their entire history, professional history. So.
And then they hire a man that has walked out of clubs within a week twice in the last 4 years.
He's got pedigree though, hasn't he? Argentina and Chile manager, and Pep Guardiola's sort of bigged him up in the past, and Pochettino as well. So plays all sort of weird and wonderful attacking formations, and they're one to look out for this season, Leeds, for sure. It's the championship, as ever, is always full of intrigue. Leeds will be one of them. Forest throwing some money about this summer as well, going down the Wolves route of spending lots of money on Portuguese players. The trip to Elland Road in October, looking forward to that.
Reading v Derby is the curtain raiser. Frank goes to Reading. What do you think of that? Because if I was a Derby fan, one, I'd be excited because I think he'll do well. I think he'll be a good manager in the long run. But I wouldn't be overly excited by the fact that he's currently in Russia, very busy working for, is it BBC or ITV? BBC, I think. But I wouldn't be overly happy about that.
No. Is he there for the whole tournament?
I'd imagine so. I hope, well, no, surely not, because that's mid-July.
He's starting next week, so...
He's there as long as England are there.
Right. Yeah, well, I think we both made it clear that going down the big-name route wasn't something that we thought was the right option
for Ipswich.
Might work for Derby, and I'm the same as you. I think, actually, he's got something about him, and he may well be a success, whether that's in the short term or the long term, I don't know. But I'm very pleased with the route Ipswich have gone down. I think they need to grow out of the limelight at the moment. And Paul Hurst, I'm very pleased with Paul Hurst as an appointment. Mm.
Off to Spain, they've confirmed. He's won an early round of negotiations with Marcus Evans to get the Ireland trip canned, and... some fresh ideas, some fresh thinking, and a new start in Spain. I think that's a very sensible thing for Evans to have sort of yielded on, really.
Yeah. Won't have been cheap, because Carlton House, that they went to every year under Mick McCarthy, just outside of Dublin. Very impressive facilities, I have to stress that, because I've been over there a few times. It's where a lot of the big international teams stay when they're playing Ireland. But it just felt like it was adding to the kind of staleness, the Groundhog Day, wasn't it? That feeling of the same old pre-season every year, Ireland followed by a clutch of local games. Sometimes we weren't even getting the home game at the end of it, and if we were, it was against poor opposition with that Belgian second-tier side a couple of years ago, which summed it up. So that Mick never hid his disdain for pre-season. Lack of competitive action never really excited him. Maybe that rubbed off on the players a little bit as well, I don't know. But I think it's pretty clear that the players maybe wanted something a little bit different. Paul Hurst certainly wants to put his own stamp on things. So he's managed to persuade Evans to open up his wallet. And as I say, it won't have been cheap to cancel that Ireland trip and then rebook in Spain. But they've done it and they're going to Spain.
I think you and I should go on a pre-season training camp.
Yeah.
Take our laptops, warm the fingers up, some warm weather training.
Do some shorthand.
Yep. I think that'd be... Where should we go?
I don't know if we can persuade our powers that be to fund this. We might up to Lowestoft or something.
the Norfolk coast, the Sunshine Coast. Which games jumped off? Were there any game aside from the Norwich, your Boxing Days, were there any particular trips, grounds, scenarios you were excited about? There's a couple that, again, revved my engine.
Mm-hmm.
QPR. It's on Boxing Day, conveniently. But QPR do the most amazing little pies in the press area, you will remember.
Mm, the best pies.
Yeah.
Tiny, but...
But so good.
Yeah. I did a hat trick last time.
Did you? That's impressive.
They are small. Is that a white on Boxing Day?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm doing that one. That's bad news.
I think you'll probably get some better food on Boxing Day than those little pies. I'll bring one back if you can't come.
From a food perspective, Christ, if we're talking food now...
We can if you want.
Villa away, still do a good spread. Every year, as these sort of teams have stayed outside of the Premier League, we go back, and it's amazing to see just the cutting of the cloth. You can see it in the press room that they start to sort of withdraw some of the food and drink offerings. You know, we've seen it with Ipswich over the years. It wasn't, you know, wasn't that long ago that you could have beers and all sorts in the Port Monmouth press room. They're now counting out the baked beans almost with tweezers. Villa put on a very good spread, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Full curry with your poppadoms, your naans there.
So we'll see if that remains. Financial times are tight there at Villa at the moment, aren't they? So,
food-wise, then, you're looking at your relegated clubs as food hotspots. I've got very good memories of covering a game at Stoke. It was probably the second round of what was the League Cup in 2013. Swindon, the old team I used to cover, went to Stoke and won in extra time, actually, under Paolo Di Canio. Great night, but it started superbly with chili and tacos, which I shared some tacos with former Wolves goalkeeper Matt Murray that night.
A lovely man.
He is a good man. He's a very good man. He's very good at his job as well. He's one of the few, along with Neil Mellor, who's incredibly well prepared for those segments they do on Soccer Saturday mm-hmm. the weekend. Some of them you can tell, not so much, just turn up, wing it. But Matt and Neil, very good. And Matt Murray loves a taco, which I do too, so hopefully they're still rocking those at the Bet365.
Sounds good, yeah. Just to go back on pre-season, actually, a lot of people have been asking about, is there a game? I think they're looking to get one sorted, but it will be behind closed doors. The reason they've said it's just Spain in general, I think they're going to try and keep this training camp pretty private. Paul Hurst get a chance to sort of meet the staff and players a little bit more, and they don't want too many fans about the place, and I don't even know if we're going to be invited at the moment, so that'll all be done quite in-house. So that just answers that question on that.
So anyone wanting to invade Ipswich Town's pre-season camp to Spain are going to have to guess and get it on the money to have any luck.
East Coast, that's the only clue I can give. But yeah, no, I understand why Paul probably wants to get to know everybody first before opening the doors to fans and media alike.
Where should we jump to on this fixture list? Are there any sort of? They're playing them all twice again.
Yeah,
which is.
I remember last year thinking that there was a really tough month heading up to Christmas, but there's none that kind of jump off the pages thinking. That's really, really tough. I mean, Easter is always an interesting one, isn't it? Where are we at for that, Andy?
Easter is Friday, the 19th of April, away at Preston, followed by a home game with Swansea on the Monday.
Yeah.
That's a reasonably tough one.
You wouldn't think that will get switched. I mean, if we've looked at the start, if you have a look at the end of the season... We don't know what the realistic expectations are for Ipswich next year. I think if I was a betting man, I'd be quite happy with mid-table and just a few signs of a bit more entertainment and a cup run and all the rest of it. But if Paul finds the magic formula like he did at Shrewsbury, then, you know, should they be in the mix come the end of the season? You've got a run in with that Easter schedule that you've just mentioned, Preston away and Swansea at home. Over Easter, and then Sheffield United away, followed by Leeds at home on the final day. Now, if they've got something to play for heading into that game, it's always a great atmosphere at home against Leeds. We saw that last year when they got the entirety of the Co-op stand opposite us, made a really good atmosphere.
Stu, you don't know your Ipswich Town stands. The Cobbold stand.
Cobbold. Come on. We're in the Co-op.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Correct.
Thank you. Right, I'm there.
Anyway, I'll take your point. Sorry, I've kind of ruined your point there.
That's alright.
Yeah, Leeds is a good game.
But yeah, I mean, we've sort of joked about it this morning beforehand. They do play everybody twice. It is a tough league. There's no easy games. Every year it seems to be a harder division. We won't know until the action gets underway, will we? So,
could you fit any more cliches into that last?
Just get them all into there now. I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually looking forward to pre-season more than recent years, and the games themselves aren't particularly exciting. It's the usual clutch of games. We've even got the joy of Crawley away at the home of East Grinstead Town, which will be interesting.
Good side.
But it would just be good to see how fit Hurst is going to get the players. He's talked about a grueling pre-season, and he prided himself on Shrewsbury being the fittest team in pre-season. The emphasis that he puts on pre-season is massive. It's almost in stark contrast to Mick, in terms of setting standards high from the start. And maybe that's unfair on Mick, because he used to be really angry if they didn't perform and lose in pre-season. So I should stop making that comparison, really. But Shrewsbury last pre-season, after they had a trip to Portugal, and after that they played Wolves, Cardiff and
Villa,
all at home, and they beat them all, I believe, in home pre-season games. And I can't name names, but a certain pundit who works in television, I spoke to them before the playoff final, and they'd been to those Shrewsbury games and immediately tipped them, put a bet on them to get promoted. So convinced were they of the performances that Shrewsbury put in pre-season. They were relegation favourites at the time, so I think you can get a pretty good indication from pre-season, actually, of what sort of season's ahead. I'm not talking in direct correlation of results, but if the performances are good, I think you can always get a sense of what's to come. And I go back to the summer of 2014 and remember coming back and seeing Daryl Murphy look like a changed man. He looked bulked up, he looked muscly, he looked like he had the bit between his teeth. And I remember thinking then, okay, he looks a little bit different now with number 9 on his shirt. And there were a few indications then of what was to come, obviously, with the 6th place finish. So yeah, it'd be good to looking forward to pre-season.
I've got a cool story, bro, story from, which I've just remembered, actually, from Shrewsbury's victory over Villa in pre-season. I was working at the Mail Online desk in London at the time, and I think at some point our headline, this was John Terry's first game in a Villa shirt, and they lost, obviously, and the headline was like, Terry's a loser on first, you know, how these places, which I'm ashamed to have written such things in my past, but Terry a loser in first Villa outing. And we had Villa's press officer rang up furious, because apparently the players had seen that on the bus ride, the short bus ride home, and were not happy with that. So very, very, very stressed Villa press officer after that one.
Did you ever have to do a Raheem Sterling eats breakfast story?
Never Raheem Sterling. You know some of the ones that I've done, because you've told me that you've seen them. Jamie Vardy going swimming. This is another podcast for another day.
Okay.
Talking about, we'll save that for the Mail Online podcast. I can tell you all about that place if you want. It's almost like my origin story, like,
yeah.
X-Men. But we'll talk about that on the other day. How's the World Cup going for you, Stu? Your Senegal boys?
Yeah,
firmly behind them?
In and out. We picked our teams in the last podcast, didn't we? Senegal, my boys. What are they called?
The Lions of Revember or something.
Yeah. Delighted with their opening victory. Both your boys, Japan as well.
Yep.
Pulled off big wins.
Yep, they've blown the group H wide open with those wins.
So yeah, enjoying it. It's wide open, isn't it? I haven't watched every game closely, but it's not been as cagey as World Cup opening fixtures are, and there's been a few shocks. Pleased with England's win.
I think there's quite a lot to be optimistic. I'm not the most fervent England fan. Obviously, I want them to do well, and I don't revel in them not doing well, but I'm not hanging flags out my window.
Mm.
I'm not putting little flags on my face at all. But I think there's quite a lot to be positive about there.
Yeah.
That game is.
The last minute goal obviously changes the mood. I think had they drawn that, everyone would have been focusing on the second half performance, which I think would have been a little bit unfair actually, because Tunisia were completely overrun in the first 20 minutes, basically parked the bus and made it very difficult to break down. And we'd seen with some of the other teams not getting wins, Brazil, Argentina, etc., that it's not easy to win your first game. So it was just a good, solid case of job done. Plenty of encouraging signs, I thought, from those first scintillating 20 minutes, as good as I've seen England play in a long time. Rashford and Loftus-Cheek had an impact off the bench, so we got a little bit of depth and all the rest of it. So
Do you start those two now, or I think so. Sounds like Dele Alli's got a bit of a knock, but I like Rashford a lot, but is he better off the bench? Oh, who knows? You still got Vardy.
In the current system they're playing, I think it's difficult to get Vardy in there because we're not playing a proper front two, are we? So I'd get Loftus-Cheek in. I think he's for Alli, who's obviously got a problem.
Gareth Southgate's got a problem as well. You seen that?
Yeah, he's dislocated
shoulder. Ouch.
I think that all adds to it, actually. It's almost, there's such a goodwill surrounding Gareth Southgate at the moment, and the way he celebrated that goal at the end, and that's almost been sort of converted into a positive, isn't it, really? Looking forward for the next two England games.
Have you seen all this stuff about the media playing this darts thing against the England players?
Right.
So at the Euros, I think Joe Hart gave an interview where he refused to answer any questions with any enthusiasm at all about the England squad's in-house darts tournament. And this time around, Gareth Southgate has got his players, like, one every day playing a match against the media, sort of as a complete rebuttal to that. I'd love a darts tournament against the Ipswich boys. I'd fancy myself there, I would. I don't know who'd be the dart sharks in the Ipswich team, though. Waghorn probably seems like one of them that's good at everything.
Yeah. I should probably bring up the story about your claim. So I don't know if people can picture where the Archant building is, but it's literally behind the South Stand. Have I got that right? Sir Ralph Ramsey Stand we're behind, aren't we?
Yep.
The old...
And the Cobbold Stand.
Yeah.
On the corner there.
Yeah. So we're in that building that's just sort of along from the Drummer Monkey, which has now been razed to the ground. But we used to film some videos up on the roof here. I don't know if anyone's seen any of them, but Andy claimed that he could throw a dart from the roof of our building onto the Portman Road pitch, which I still claim is impossible.
I'll shake my head. I don't think distance is a problem. I could definitely throw it far enough, 100%. It's accuracy, because where the two stands meet, the gap isn't massive, and that's where I think my problem.
You're deluded.
Well, I think this is a strange one, because it's one that's never going to be answered, because that is illegal, probably.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It's not doable. I don't think Steve Backley could throw.
Steve Backley can throw a javelin.
The weight of the dart itself is not, it's not got enough, just the laws of physics isn't going to allow it to happen.
I don't know how we answer this question, but
or how we came onto this subject. What were we talking about?
Playing Ipswich players at darts, but this is probably more interesting.
Other things from the World Cup that I've liked and not liked. My favourite World Cup moment was the Iran throw-in last night. Brilliant, love that. What were the minor irritations? Oh, the scrolling goal scorers on the bottom of, I don't know which channel it is that does that, but they can't put all the goal scorers on screen at the same time, so you have to wait for them to scroll around like old school teletext. Not a fan of that. What else were we discussing? Things I like. Non-clashing kits. They seem to be very strict on having a light kit and a dark kit. I like that. I think English football could learn something from that.
This is an American thing, Stu. This is exactly how they do it in America. Every team has some kind of variant of a white kit,
mm-hmm.
and one's used in every single game.
Vuvuzelas seem to be creeping back in.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good.
Did they have them? Did they kind of make their way into Portman Road after the South Africa World Cup?
I can't remember. They might have been a fad for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm not into them. I really like that, you know, say what you want about Russia as a country, but I love it when a host does well at a World Cup. And that's something I think we're going to miss in the future going forward, because these international tournaments are going to be splintered off into various other countries, doesn't have a singular host country, but just for the host to do well,
yeah.
I think adds something to a World
Agreed.
Cup.
Well, we've got Qatar next, unlikely. And then after that, as you say, they're going to kind of be split across various countries.
USA and Canada and Mexico.
And Mexico, combined bid. And then what, we're going up to 48
yeah,
teams?
Yeah, 48 teams.
Mm. Double group stages. Not up for
it's
that.
It's not the magic of the World Cup, is it? The Euro, the next, is it the next Euros that's spread across pretty
the
much
continent.
The whole of Europe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the final's at Wembley, so we're going to be, we'll be in that, I'm sure.
Mm.
Want any more Ipswich Town business, Stu, that we need to cover? Do you?
No, we're kind of in that little quiet period at the moment, aren't we? I'm sure Paul Hurst has been working away in the background on transfer targets, but this has been his first proper week in the job, and I'm sure he'll just be trying to get to know staff and people behind the scenes, speaking to some key people like Dave Bowman, who's still here for now, head of scouting, could well follow Mick, Lee O'Neill, who's going to be heading up all this sports science alongside the new man, Nathan Winder. There'll be various people that he's just getting to know, and I think the transfer window, I know there's been a few deals going down, but it probably will be a slow burner, because I think when you have a major tournament, that pushes everything back. Loan and the transfer windows are split this year, aren't they? So I think the loans will all be pushed back later on. So fairly relaxed about sort of the lack of transfer activity at the moment. I'm sure that will all start to hot up in the next few weeks. But
there's been a few national links to various wingers, and I think that's always going to happen after Paul's comments last week that he's identified the need for wingers. Marvin Johnson was one of them at Middlesbrough, and a guy who I'd never heard of before called David Milinkovic, who was on loan at Hearts from Genoa last season. That's reports in Italy linking him, but we'll see about those.
I know Bowman, who we've just mentioned before, who's based in Newcastle, does a lot of scouting in Scotland and spent a fair bit of time at the Edinburgh clubs over the last couple of years, so might be something in that one. Interesting.
We'll see. We'll talk a lot of transfers later this summer.
Yeah, there's more time to talk about all of that, isn't there, going forward, but we're in that nice little non-football period at the moment and waiting for it all to kick off, but yeah, we haven't really spoken since Paul Hurst's first press conference. We liked him, didn't we? He seemed,
yeah.
I think he ticked all the right boxes, said all the right things, came across as humble, driven, ambitious, proud to be here, excited to wear the badge of Ipswich Town, said all the right things in terms of style of play, front foot positive, all the rest of it. So, yeah, really looking forward to this season. The last couple of years have not been too much fun to watch or report on. So, yeah, just hope this season's a bit more fun, really.
Let's leave it with that. That's what a wonderful way to finish. We all want a bit of fun. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you like what you've heard, give us a good review on iTunes. You can subscribe there, on Deezer, on Spotify.
Deezer? What's that?
Come on, Stu. Deezer is where about 2% of our podcast listenership listen to it, including me. I have that.
Sorry, I ruined your outro.
That's all right. No. See you later.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.